The title of the message is, Will You Strengthen the Things That Remain? Taken from verse 2 of Revelation chapter 3. You cannot strengthen what is dead. Whatever that is dead, you need to resurrect. You cannot strengthen something that is no longer alive. Just like a person, a body as well. When you are weak and tired and unhealthy, you can begin to eat carefully, exercise, sleep enough, and slowly the tiredness in your body will be replaced by strength again. But you have to be alive for you to be strong again. Of all these seven churches in the book of Revelation, only the last and final church, church number 7, Laodicea, is the only church that has only condemnation, not a single commendation. But in the church in Sardis, unlike all the other churches, the other five, minus Laodicea, the Lord did not ask them to strengthen per se, did not ask them to repent of what they did wrong, like the church in Ephesus, strong on doctrine, but very, very weak and fragile in motivation, but they were not constrained by the love of Christ. They have lost or set aside the love of Christ in their heart. Not lost, left. Put it aside. They need to put it back into their heart and let love be their motivation again. But the case of the church in Sardis was a little different. There were things, ministry, that were floundering, getting weaker, not dead yet, getting weaker. And so the Lord did tell them, strengthen the things, right? The word is used are the things, not people. So the things would be the ministries in the church, the activities in the church. Relationships will be included as things, isn't it? Brotherly love. Not the individual person, per se, but relationship and the things that are found in a church that started very well, but it is now about to decline in some way. And there were bad and there were good, and so the strengthening is that which is good. Make it strong. That is the main focus and thrust of this afternoon's message. And the one who calls us to strengthen is described for us in verse 1. Let's see how the Lord introduced himself regarding the focus on strengthening the ministries that is in a church. Unto the angel, that is the leaders of the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, that is the Holy Spirit. Hath here does not mean ownership. Simply means you have a very strong link, relationship with the Holy Spirit, known as the seven spirits of God and the seven stars that will be the church. And Jesus Christ indeed has a very strong, close relationship. Without the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry as the Son of God and the Son of Man who came to suffer and die for us, the Holy Spirit has no ministry. His ministry in our lives begins with indwelling. But there will be no sinner who will have the indwelling of the Spirit, because there is no salvation without Christ coming. And so the relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit is the ministry. Christ and the Holy Spirit. Without Christ, no Holy Spirit ministry. Without the Holy Spirit ministry, there is no salvation, because salvation is by the gospel according to Scripture proclaimed, and the Holy Spirit will take the gospel and bring conviction and conversion. Jesus himself testified that in his dialogue with Nicodemus. By the water and the Spirit, you are born again, you are saved. So their relationship and their ministries, they are in direct tandem. One cannot have a ministry without the other. That's why the focus is strengthening the things, the ministry. It's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord says, I and the Holy Spirit, we have a very strong relationship. And then, of course, with the church as well, because the churches are all founded because of the gospel that was preached. Without the gospel, no church could exist. Every church, including the powerful, big Roman Catholic Church, started with the gospel, conservative gospel that was proclaimed, and it lasted for more than 200 years in the fire of persecution until the 4th century, when Constantine turned Christianity into a state religion, and that's where Christianity came out of the catacombs in hiding, and now start to exist in broad daylight. And very soon, with churches mushrooming throughout Europe, doctrinal issues arose, councils were formed to debate, and to contend for doctrines when some doctrines came under attack. And Constantine said, well, since I'm the king, it's my empire, why should I not be the head of the church as well, to sit in control of all these councils? And that's how the Roman Catholic Church was born, where it is wearing two hats, political as well as religious. But it started on a good, solid, conservative, fundamental beginning. 200 years of fire or persecution. Every church began like that. You realize that? And so is truth. So was the church in Sardis. But something happened. Starting, of course, is easy, where everyone is excited, everyone is very fundamental. Every ministry, when it started, would also have the same flavor, the same kind of theme, fundamentalism. But very soon, give it some time. Maybe after a few generations, or even one generation, when you have new people coming in, and these new people did not come out of the fire of persecution or in any spiritual battle, they came in already enjoying the fruits of the first generation founding members' faithfulness. And so they can become complacent. There was no transition or experience from a battle before they enjoy the peace. They are born in a time of peace, and so they continue to enjoy peaceful existence in the church. And this kind of environment can create a very lax and lazy attitude where you take things for granted, and then ministries will begin to decline, because people who come, people who serve, people who attend, they have never tasted what they never had. Those who come from other churches, they understood what it was like in those churches where the word of God was not faithfully preached, faithfully taught. All kinds of nonsense were brought into the church, and now the church that they were in is now no longer conservative at all. And they are thankful to God for bringing them out as soon as possible, especially those with young children. And then when they come to churches like Truth, rest assured, guaranteed, these people are very grateful and thankful, and they are very, very much involved in service to make sure and maintain this spiritual blessing that they never had, that they have found here. But second generation believers who are members of Truth BP Church, and they are brought up since birth in this kind of peaceful spiritual environment, they are the ones who will tend to be lazy, slothful, because they take things for granted, because they have not understood and experienced the trials of life and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And so the church could easily decline when the second generation takes over the leadership, because that's the way of life, isn't it? We are not going to remain forever, and if the Lord tarries, thank the Lord. There is no need for a new generation of leaders to replace the present one. But if the Lord tarries, the new ones will take over. And when they take over without the experience of earnestly contending for the faith, and they take things for granted, dilution could easily come in. But something happened, and the church in Sardis was in that state and condition of dilution. And so the Lord said, I have a strong relationship with the church and with the Holy Spirit, ministry-wise. Without the gospel, without the Holy Spirit, without Christ, no church could be born. And so therefore, church in Sardis, you are where you are right now in this city because of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in your church, in your lives. And so the Lord says, I know thy works. In other words, because of me, because of the Holy Spirit, you exist. And so therefore, I have every right to now tell you how I have evaluated all of you in the church in Sardis, the state and condition of the church in Sardis. The Lord said, I know your works. So it is not hearsay. It is not from any individual in the church reporting to the Lord. It's not from any angels who came and investigate. The Lord said, I know personally, first-hand knowledge. So therefore, I'm telling you based upon first-hand knowledge, not rumor. I know thy works. And what exactly did the Lord say that he knew? That thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Uh-oh, reputation. Right? Started very well. Strong reputation of earnestly contending for the faith. Very courageous, very faithful, very, very discerning. But now in this present state and condition, around 90 plus AD, before the turn of the first century, the church in Sardis was no longer in that state of condition. Parts of it, maybe a most part of it, a greater part of it, some ministries perhaps, because it's the things. That's the focus. They're already dead. You can't strengthen that which is dead. You can only just simply stop it, and maybe you need to restart all over again. Was that not how the BP movement was born 60 plus years ago? Yes. Reverend Toh was a member of Prinsep Street Presbyterian Church when the Lord called him. Went to America to study from China, about a year there, and went to Faith Theological Seminary. And while he was there, the World Council of Churches was just born in 1948. Reverend Toh was there maybe around the 1950s, if I remember correctly. And because of the nearness, the closeness to the founding, 1948, the fire of ecumenism and fundamentalism, and the battle was still very hot. Because at the same time, God raised up Carl McIntyre, the president of Faith Theological Seminary, to found the ICCC, International Council of Christian Churches, versus the World Council of Churches. And while he was there, Reverend Toh was there, the battle was at its initial height. Very fierce. Everything was new and everyone was fighting. And so he caught the battle bug. And when he came back upon the completion of his Masters of Divinity, he realized that the Presbyterian Church in Malaya was about to join the World Council of Churches, and he fought from within. A few meetings was held in a church in Muar, in Malaysia. But he realized it was to no avail. He could not win such a battle. He was outnumbered over and over again. And the only way is to come out. You cannot strengthen or save that which is dead. And so when he came out, since the church in America and the seminary that he attended was a Bible Presbyterian church that was also just born, he borrowed the same name. And that's the only link that we have to the BP movement in America, in name only. Not in resources, not in anything else. Reverend Toh was not a missionary from the BP church in America to come here to start another BP movement. He just simply did it on his own accord based upon what he learned and experienced in America. And that was how the BP movement was born, and through it you have so many BP churches all over the tiny island of Singapore, and also many branch outreaches all over the world. But look at the state and condition of the BP movement today. 1988, every BP church began to do what was right in their own eyes. I believe this church was not yet born in 1988. Many of you, the leaders, some of you were still in Calvary Jurong, or Calvary BP Church Jurong. and you fought. When the perfect Bible issue came about, you fought, and like Reventhal, you realized it was to no avail. The only way to save yourself, your family, and God's truth is to stop fighting from within, is to start afresh. Just like the BP movement was born, Truth BP Church was born. And so the Lord says, I know thy works. You had a reputation of very much spiritually alive, very strong, fighting the good fight of faith. I remember when I was still in my previous church in the 1970s. Billy Graham came to Singapore. Of course, the church where I came from, like many, many other churches, they were so delighted and happy for Billy Graham coming. And they encouraged all of us to attend the Billy Graham Crusade, even sign up to be counselors and so on. Because the National Stadium, the old National Stadium that is now destroyed, can see what, 60,000 people? And Billy Graham Crusade, everyone promoted it. And then we heard a rumor. There is this denomination called the BP. They are against it. They're telling their people not to attend. Some of them are even standing outside the vicinity of the National Stadium, handing out tracts and paper to tell people, don't go, don't go, don't attend. Who are they? What kind of people are they? And then, of course, when I heard this, I tried to find out more and ask people. Oh, they are people, that denomination, they have a reputation for biblical separation. They are the kind of people who think that they are the only right ones and everyone else is wrong. That was a reputation, that they were very much alive, spiritually alive. Very, very much fighting the good fight of faith, earnestly contending with almost every denomination. That's the BP. A name that liveth. But look at it now. Look at it now. 2025. 50 years later. Right, that was in the 1970s. Look at it today. What happened? Most of the BP churches in Singapore are already dead. And the battle rages on. And don't be shocked and surprised. More of them will die. Of course, spiritually. Where they come, they assemble, they gather. But you know the glory of God has already departed and will not return. Because dead churches cannot be strengthened. Once they are dead, they need resurrection. And you will see that in the church in Laodicea. Basically, resurrection means complete total repentance from top down. The leaders must begin. If they don't, the church will never, never be made alive again. And so the one who called us to strengthen is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had every right to evaluate and to make a judgment. And this was his judgment of the church in Sardis. Is it what we also see in Truth BP Church, as the church is about to enter into her, what, 19th year? On the corner, right? Isn't it your 19th year of Thanksgiving and election? Right, 19th ACM. Pray for the leaders. They are the key. That's why the leaders are mentioned. Isn't that what the Bible says? The seven stars to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? Angel would be the leaders. We know that. Cannot be real, actual angels, if you recall the earlier messages. Because this angel, when the other verses talks about casting them into hell, if it's angels, will not be cast into hell for failing to look after a church. A church are always looked after by people, not angels. People who have experienced grace and mercies of God. These are some of the arguments that we talk about in the early messages. So the Lord has a right to evaluate Truth BP Church. Yes, if you call yourself a Christian church. And he says, I know. So what did he know? What does he know? verse 2 to verse 4, the object of the strengthening. So are you going to strengthen or not? And so he says, be watchful, number one. There are two different words to watch. One word means you are already very alert and awake. Keep watch, don't go to sleep. Another word is you are sleeping. And then the Lord says, be watchful, someone come and wake you up. And once you are awake, don't go back to sleep. So two very different emphases. One is you're already very alert. Stay alert. The other one is you are sleeping. You're not doing anything. You're supposed to be watching. You're a guard on duty. But you are sleeping, and so the be watchful means wake up. Stay awake after that. Don't go back to sleep. This word is number two. When we get the English name, Gregory, that's the word. Gregory, that means wake up and remain awake. Don't go back to spiritual stupor. So be watchful. Will you wake up? Wake up to do what? To strengthen the things which remain. There are still some ministries in the church that are still acceptable, still good, still strong. Don't let it diminish unto death. Keep them alive. Make them strong. How to make them strong? Get the right people, number one, to look after all the ministries. Right people are people with the right spiritual gifts. You want to put someone in charge of your music ministry, that person needs to know music. And definitely theology. Not just music, theology. You want someone to look after your choir, that person must know theology and music. So that when the choir master look after the choir, they will not look after the choir like the choirs that are in the world, where they focus only on pitch perfection. The church choir is not looking for pitch perfection. That's a byproduct. The focus is the spiritual well-being of every choir member. They have to be believers in order to sing praises to God, and the Lord knows. And therefore, that is the first thing that every choir must do. Keep it strong. Make sure only born-again believers sing in the choir. You do your due diligence. Ask everyone to write their testimony of salvation if they are not already members and they want to join. But they are not yet members. You have to ask them for testimony of salvation. Otherwise, that person, even though the person may be a very, very well-known singer out there, sorry, you cannot sing in the choir because you are not a child of God. That's how you strengthen. Make sure every ministry is looked after by spiritual men and women. Number one, 1BB Church. I went there, it was a mess. And then at the first meeting that I had with them, a church overseas, I got a shock of my life. The chairman of the ministry brought his girlfriend into the church ministry, and the leaders of the church just simply either they do not know or they just simply let him. And you know, this girlfriend of his is from a charismatic church, not even a member of the church. How can you allow your own girlfriend from a charismatic church, not a member of the church, sit in the YF committee and started to talk about what program, what kind of messages, what kind of who should be the speaker, to talk about the spiritual well-being of the young people of the church? This is ridiculous. This is nonsense. So when I was there, I just simply talked to them kindly, can you please, you're not a member, please go. Right there and then. Make sure that the people in charge are godly men and women. Number two, when you have godly men and women looking after all your ministries, from the youngest to the oldest, they will focus on God's word. Isn't that how you strengthen? The most powerful weapon and tool that God gave us is the word of God. So every preacher and teacher that you invite to speak in all your fellowships, they must be able to deliver the goods. And so every session member, you have to look after all the ministries of the church, and as an overseer, as a protector, as a guardian of the ministries in your church, you have to listen to the speaker who preach in the fellowship you are in charge of, to evaluate and to make sure that your little flock in your ministry under your care, they are not duped, they are not deceived. You are to be their guardian, their protector, are you not? And so you have to listen. You may not be present, but you know all recorded. You should listen to them. And if you find that there's something is not right, but you cannot pinpoint it, then go to the leaders. Ask them to help you discern and find out. And once you found out exactly why it is wrong, then you're going to do damage control. You're going to assemble back the same people, and then go to talk to them and tell them the message that you heard last week. These are the parts that have to be corrected. These are all incorrect. And this is the correct understanding. Please take note. And then write to the speaker as well. What you preach, can you please clarify? We find issue in here, 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 and here. Can you please explain further? The person refused, the person justified. Don't invite the person back again. Doesn't matter who he is. You do not respect persons in judgment, because that is one of the hallmarks of a leader in God's church. Deuteronomy 1:17, right? Thou shalt not respect faces in judgment. Doesn't matter who the person is, whether he's a BP, whether he is an ordained minister, a lecturer in FEBC or not, it does not matter. Your duty is to protect Truth BP Church. And all of you leaders, session members, you are entrusted with at least one or two or more portfolios. Correct? Because there are few in numbers. That's your duty. You don't care who. Wrong is wrong. You are duty bound to protect the people who come to the ministry. That's your responsibility. That's how you strengthen. Listen, wrong, don't invite the person back again. And tell your leaders why this person cannot be invited back to the church unless the person acknowledge that this was an error. Because if you know that it is wrong and he insists it is right, you invite him back. What do you think is the message that you send to him? That you are wrong, that he is right, and he will continue to teach more errors, you are in trouble. You don't respect faces in judgment. The Lord made that clear. Why? Because the judgment you make is the Lord's judgment. That means it has to be based upon scripture. It's not personal. Doesn't matter who that person is. That person could even be your father. You cannot let him preach or teach in that church, in that ministry. Full stop. This is Christ's church, right? It's called a Christian church. You protect the things which remain. That means there are some ministries that continue to remain, that are still healthy. Make it healthier. Make it stronger. Because if you do not, you will continue to decline and decline, because some are already dead. Where you have to start all over again. You can't strengthen that which is dead, right? Remember that. So all your ministries, important. You know why people sometimes leave a church? They don't have to disagree with everything in the church before they leave the church. You know that, right? Some people leave the church because they got hurt in a ministry. The leaders didn't do anything to the person, but someone in the member or member in the ministry stepped on the person's toe. The person got upset and angry. He's not upset and angry with everyone in the church. He's not upset and angry with all the other ministries in the church. Only that particular ministry, and that was good enough, painful enough for the person to say, I'm not coming back. That's why all ministries are important. All ministries must be very carefully protected and looked after and strengthened. How to make it strong? Right leaders, focus on the Word. And when you focus on the Word, you can focus on Christ. And when you focus on Christ, every one of us diminish and Christ must increase. Make sure that is the case. Then humility will now enter into everyone's heart. And you will do whatever it takes for Christ's sake. And so if I hurt you in the ministry, I will be very happy to apologize first. I'm so sorry. Because you do not want to be the one that the devil will use to cause this person to leave the church. You know, sound biblical churches like Truth BPC are very hard to find. And the person leaves because of your pride and you do not want to apologize, And the person is now wandering out there. You are not guiltless. You don't want to do that to any soul, isn't it? But you become the tool of the devil to cause this person to be upset with Truth BP Church because of you. Spiritual leaders, they will emphasize the Word of God. And when you emphasize the Word of God, Christ will be promoted, Christ will increase, and people will decrease. And that means humility will now come into people's life. And therefore, humility is the key for restoration. Because the more time you spend together, the more you're going to step on each other's toes. And therefore, humility is the balm that will heal every soul. That's how you strengthen, isn't it? Every ministry, very simple, straightforward, because God provided everything for us to do it. The Bible, the Word of God, you and I don't have to invent new ways or strange ideas. The Word of God is there. Every ministry, know the heartbeat of every ministry, the heartbeat of the choir ministry, the YF ministry, the YAF, all of them will have a different heartbeat because all the ministries will have a different level of individuals to look after. The heartbeat of a YF, what are the age group? Students. What are their challenges? Studies. So the pressure of study life will be their struggle. And their relationship at home with parents. Some believing parents, some do not have. So what's the heartbeat of the YF? Help the students. First, salvation, and then how to conduct themselves, how to study hard as a Christian student. YAF, next age group, new families, just got married, about to get married with young children, how to build solid foundation in life as they begin their life, right? Because they have the life ahead of them if the Lord tarries and the Lord bless them with 70 years and 10. Foundation is crucial because if the foundation is sinking sand, they are going to collapse. If the foundation is rooted in Christ, what does it mean to be rooted in Christ? The Word of God must be their foundation. Teach them simple mathematics. The moment you're blessed with a child, one parent must stay home. That means you begin your life based upon one person's salary. Don't buy a house that requires two person salary. Then when one party is supposed to stay home to look after the children, they are in trouble now. Because they need two person salary to pay the mortgage. Right? So you start, you be wise. Teach them. Know the heartbeat, AF, as they grow older, senior adults or golden years. Their heartbeat is the bulk of their life already lived. They will have a lot of regrets. They only have a short time ahead. And every night they go to sleep in that age group, they are not sure whether it will be their last night. And when they wake up, they are very grateful, automatically, instinctively, they will be thankful. Lord, thank you for another new day. The mentality will change as you age. Know the heartbeat. And therefore, get the right messages. Get the right speaker to treat the right messages so that people will come expecting to be blessed with God's truth and they are blessed. You get the right title, you get the wrong speaker, people come expecting to be fed God's word, they get disappointed, and next time, right topic, but the same speaker again, why would I come? Why would I come? I come, I expect to be taught the Word of God, and I got nothing. You wasted my time. I could have spent it somewhere else with my family, but now I come here, I want the truth, but you didn't give me the truth. I won't come again. Isn't that the case? So you strengthen. When people come, you've got the right topic, people love this topic, they want to know, get the right speaker to deliver the goods, and you get the spiritual food out. God will have His sheep waiting hungrily to devour the food that we must give them in this church through all the ministries. Isn't that what truth is supposed to be? A place where believers can come and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the case? And then sinners will come and find salvation, and so you have to protect and make sure that the gospel you preach is not diminished or affected in any way. All aspects must be according to Holy Scriptures. That's how you strengthen that which remain. That are ready to die, that means very weak. Some of them are floundering, about to die. Ready means about to die. You don't revive them. You don't strengthen them and make it strong again. That's it. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Perfect means not complete. Some areas are not good. Some areas are dead. Some areas are dying. Make them strong. Some areas are stronger. Make them stronger. Evaluate every aspect of the ministry. That's what session meetings are meant to do. And for us in Pandan, we try to have at least once a year a session retreat where certain ministries are singled out for deeper improvement, where the deacon or elder in charge will present the state and condition of the ministry, and then after that, all of us will jump in and brainstorm to see how we can improve together. So every year, different ministries. And then after a while, those that we have suggested, we make sure that the suggestions are all carried out and executed. We don't just simply talk. And every ministry, the trouble, the difficulties, all will have to be carefully looked at and improved. Because we all know every ministry will have weaknesses. And every ministry can be better. So never, never stop improving, improving, strengthen. Keep on making it stronger and stronger and stronger so that it will be harder and harder for the evil one to destroy. That's what you need to do, isn't it? If the Lord tarries your young ones, they need a sound, conservative church like this for them to be saved, for them to mature, for them to be strong in the Lord. Don't just be contented in your generation. You have this kind of environment, and then when you are gone, I don't care anymore. You cannot have that attitude. Did the Lord not tell us to pass on to faithful men who can continue to do the work and keep the church strong and stronger if possible? That's what it means. Will you strengthen the things that remain or not in your lifetime? Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Remember how you experienced all these things in the past? These four amazing verbs. Receive, someone came and taught you. Heard, you listened to it. You obeyed it, and that's why you hold fast to it with a very tight grip, not letting it go. And then you repented when the word of God convict you. That's what you need to make it strong. These four words, verbs remain the same. Preach, teach. And let it be the work of the Holy Spirit convicting hearts so they will hold fast, and then those who are convicted will repent. And if therefore thou shalt not watch, right? Verse 2 says, be watchful. If you not watch, means you remain spiritually asleep. If you ignore the warning, you keep on sleeping. In other words, you don't want to wake up. You don't want to re-evaluate and look at all the ministries with a brand new, fresh look to see how you can improve. Get the right people, right spiritual men and women to look after all the ministries and make sure all of them focus on God's word. If you don't watch, I will come on thee as a thief anytime very suddenly, and thou shalt not know. And the word know there is not the same as the word know in verse 1. I know thy works. It's mental. Right? Because God knows, right? Mentally he knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But this word know in verse 3, thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. That's experiential knowledge. Because when I come suddenly, you're not going to know that I am here right now in your midst. And I'm going to judge. So those who are in charge, you better be very mindful and careful. The people who come to your ministry, the people who come to church session members, they are not to be just simply looked at as a number. Right? You have all your number, how many people attend and so on. They are not numbers, they are blood bought. Whose blood? Christ's blood. You know how precious that is to God? The highest price that God could ever, ever pay to redeem you is the precious, priceless blood of His only begotten Son. And God brought them to Truth BP Church for you to nurture, feed, and protect it, and sometimes even rebuke or admonish. So that they will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when they go out into the world, the ferocious wolves are waiting to devour them. Get them to be strong and stronger so that when the grievous wolves come and bite into them, they cannot bite through because their flesh is solid muscle. They will not become victims. They will remain good, courageous soldiers for Christ. And when they come into the church, you make sure that the church is also protected from within. Men can rise up from within, Acts 20, and draw other men unto themselves. That's cultic. So you be very careful. Get spiritual leader, not people who want to promote self. Very dangerous. Because relationships, once it is on the line, very, very difficult to deal with issues objectively when emotions are very, very hot. Relationship, right? We all know each other. And that makes it even very, very difficult to deal with when one of your own friends and buddies are the ones that you have to rebuke and admonish and to stop from serving. That person, if the person is spiritual, he will accept it humbly. If he's not, he's going to spread. Tell this person, tell that person, this person, that person, and these are all buddies and friends and so on. And before you know it, there will be a clique. It will be on his side versus the leaders. The leaders and the congregation must never, never be seen as one side and the other side. We are all on the same side. And so sometimes when you have your ACM, don't have this atmosphere of leaders one side, members the other side. That is nonsense. We are all on the same side. It's just a different calling and responsibilities. That's all. We are not different side. We are on the same side promoting Christ. Because on the day of judgment, you think, well, there's a different queue. Huh? You think all the session members will be seated right next to Christ. And then you all will come one by one. All the leaders will be queuing up just like you, giving an account of how they have served the Lord according to their calling. So don't have this mindset and attitude. Leaders are one side, we are on the other side. That is the world out there. Right? The leaders, the cabinet ministers, one side, we are the populace, we are the people. That is the world mentality. Don't bring it into the church. And the leaders must begin. Don't ever have that mindset. When you look at the congregation during ACM, treat them as family. How do you treat your own family at home? Lovingly, with much care and patience and empathy, right? Do the same. Do the same. So the Lord knows, will you watch or will you not? You're sleeping. Will you wake up or will you not? Some ministries are about to die, according to the Lord, the church in Sardis. Hope that's not the case here. Will you strengthen? Make it strong and healthy. And all who come will truly be blessed in that ministry. They come to sing in the choir. Let all who are in the choir be spiritual men and women. Encouraging one another, provoking one another unto love and to good works. Not to hurt, not to compete. Who can sing better? Nonsense. This is not the world. This is family. This is a home away from home that you must create for every child of God on earth that the Lord will bring into this church. Isn't that the case? And then finally, the blessings in strengthening. So do you want to be blessed or not? Yes or no? It's up to you. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they should walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So there were godly men and women who can look after the ministries. And God says there are some that I know of in the church in Sardis who remain faithful and true and holy in the midst of some in the church who are carnal, who are professing believers, who look like believers, but they are actually not. And they were in the ministries and they have destroyed some of the ministries and some of them are now in the process of destroying it. And if you have to remove some leaders in order to save the ministries, remove. Plain and simple, remove. Every one of us, we are all dispensable. And if the person doesn't have the right spiritual gift and you put the person in charge of that ministry, trouble is going to follow next. It's going to come. You put the wrong people to look after the wrong thing. There will be problem. And if the person is there and he's creating problem and trouble, you've got to nip it in the bud. No, we have Bible studies, a lot of Bible studies throughout the month.
There's this particular Bible study where we have people who used to come to our church, but they have left and they have attended other church. And in those Bible studies, you know what they do? They slander. They use the Bible study that they come, and in the guise of attending the Bible study, they begin to talk bad things about people in the church in Pandan. And so the session member didn't know how to deal with these individuals, because these individuals were very rich, very vocal. So he brought to the attention of the board of elders, thank God. And so we have to draft a very clear instruction for all Bible studies and all facilitators of any discussion group. These are the rules that you must observe and follow, and they are all non-negotiable. If anyone were to come into the Bible study or any fellowship Bible study, and they try to slander or bring in things that are unnecessary, stop them immediately. Tell the person, please stop. This is Bible study. This is not a place of gossip. If the person insists, tell the person, please leave. We don't need you here. Doesn't matter who he is. Please go. So that everybody will fear. And that Bible study group even got some young people, teenagers there. Can you imagine the damage that is done? People who never had any issue with so many people in Pandan, especially in the leadership. And now with all these nonsensical false information, all this criticism, they put all these evil thoughts into them, so the next time when these people look at the same group of people, they are no longer looking at them with clear eyes. It is now tainted by all this deception that they even dare not go up and clarify. They just simply accept it as gospel truth because this is just suspicion. They just simply sow seeds of discord. Remember Proverbs 6? Let these people realize that sowing discord is an abomination in the eyes of God. But you destroy and put a wedge between brotherly love and relationship. So we're going to put down the rules to stop these people. And this, print it out, give to every single member. And new ones come, give them a copy, let them read. You want to be part of this group to study God's word, follow the rules. No gossip. Don't use it as the platform for your slander. The person is not here to defend himself. You have issue with these people, go to the person and tell the person to his face. Why do you need to tell us? Protect. That's what you need to do. There are some who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. See, they are born again, in other words. They continue to live a holy life in the midst of some who were not living a holy life. He that overcometh, he that is awakened out of his spiritual stupor, overcome this problem. What is the problem? Sleep in. Ministries are dying. They did nothing. Will you overcome and begin to strengthen the things that are still alive, not dead yet, ready to die but not dead yet? Will you strengthen? Will you do what you need to do, please? The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, these are all found in churches. The enemies are found in churches. And they were found in the church in Sardis. And so the warning was very clear. These troublemakers that are hurting the ministries, that will hurt the lives of people who attend these ministries, stop what you are doing. And those who are leaders who can do something to stop these people, please wake up and stop them. That's why you are put there in position of leadership, to do something to stop these people. And do not means please do not respect faces in judgment. Right is right, wrong is wrong, doesn't matter who that person is. Do it. Because this is not your church, this is Christ's church, and Christ put you there according to your office, as a deacon, as an elder, as a chairman of your fellowship, whatever it is, there is a reason why the Lord saved you, left you behind, and put you in that position at the right time. To do something to protect, because the Lord knew of this attack and the attackers, and now you are there at the right time to stand in the gap and to protect the ministry and the rest of God's people. That's what you need to do. Strengthen. Make it strong. Get rid of all the rotten wood. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels, and he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Will you listen? They are not my words. They are the word of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the church in Sardis at that time, and now to the church in Pandan Gardens, Truth, BP Church. Will you listen? He that hath ears, would you hear? And do what is right, fearing no man, and only God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to know that as long as the ministry is not dead yet, there is still life. May Thou be gracious and merciful to raise up courageous, godly men and women to rise to the fore and stand in the gap and do what is right, to strengthen the ministries that You have raised up and started in this church. And we pray, O Lord, that You'll be merciful so that all who come to these ministries may truly be blessed with Thy truth and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of Thy holy word, through much prayer, through service, and through Christian fellowship. Defend and protect, O Lord, Truth BP Church against the wiles of the devil in these last days, so that this church may remain a haven of rest in these last days for all Your children to come and be blessed, and sinners may find salvation, grace, and mercies. And may Thou raise up men and women with the fear of God in their heart, who understands what it means to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, to strengthen the things that are in this church that are ready to die. May Thou be merciful. For Jesus' sake, may Thou hear our cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Thank you.